Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive.
I tried to like guide the finger there, you know, and it gets pushed away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is like, you know, a deal breaker or not.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing, Jeff. So you're 31 years old. Is she your age as well?
She's 28.
Okay. So here's the thing. You've been together 5 months. You know, I think you have to have the conversation about sex outside the bedroom. Because if you're telling me she's not that adventurous, it's not that likely that she would be into you leading her finger towards your ass. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. So you want to try a new kink? Well, you've come to the right podcast. On today's Best of Show, I'll answer your questions and help open your mind and body to all things kink and BDSM, from squirting to nipplegasms, because pushing ourselves outside our comfort zone can lead to enhanced intimacy and heightened pleasure. All you need are the right tools, compassionate communication, patience, and plenty of lube. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention for the show. I do it. I encourage you to do it. What do you want to get out of this episode? Well, my intention is to help you expand your pleasure beyond the ordinary. Because even if kink is just not your thing, just talking through new types of pleasure can bring you and your partner closer together and have a whole lot more pleasure. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My article, Six Kink Styles and How to Explore Them, is up at sexwithemily.com. Also, check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. Want to ask me questions? Leave me your questions or message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily. Or just call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And of course, totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Oh, one more thing. Super excited. I'm doing my first live event since 2020. It's going to be in Los Angeles with my good friend, Dr. Jen Fried. As you know, she's been on the show. She's a psychological astrologer, and it's going to be to celebrate her new book, and it's at Dynasty Typewriter on Friday, October 7th at 6 p.m. Please come join me. I'm really excited to see all of y'all. We're going to be discussing her new book, A Map to Your Soul, and just talking about how to nurture yourself, live your potential. Jen and I go off on a lot of great conversations that I know are going to inspire you. I'm going to put a link to tickets in the show notes. Come say hi. I'd love to see you. All right, everyone. Enjoy this episode. Bondage. People always want to know, like, what does it mean to tie my partner up? How do we consensually tie each other up? So bondage means to be restrained for erotic purposes, essentially. The B in BDSM, mm-hmm. which is bondage, discipline, sadomasochism.
I like being tied up. Mm-hmm. And also, even during my wedding, actually. So my husband brought, because we got married in Hawaii, but he said he was going to bring some rope. And of course, it's not like your typical rope, you guys. It's not like your, you know, the kind you see that looks like it would hurt you or something. No, you could even use something that's like material that you would use for like yarn or something like that. It doesn't have to necessarily be your average, like you think some rope you use to tie a boat with or something.
It's God. Yeah, boat rope seems hard.
Exactly. Not like that. But yeah, so he used actually this very, like a yarn. It was almost like a yarn. It was very soft. It felt very nice mm-hmm. because he knows I don't like things that like would scratch or anything. And he tied up my breasts. And so he basically put it down the center of them and then tied them apart somewhat. So it didn't hurt so much, but it was more like tying them so they were separated, almost like it was a bra in itself. And it was like a halter. It was very cute. I'll have to show you pictures. But yeah, and so that was kind of like a bondage that we would do.
Like that night. And your hands were also tied?
Yes. Yeah, so that's the thing. It tied to my hands as well. So it was very...
Because you have breasts.
Right. Yes.
Like for me, I mean, I have some, but that wouldn't work for everybody.
Right. Exactly.
There's no breast anchors.
Yeah.
But bondage is a very popular kink for people.
Right.
And I think, we make it so difficult. Like just use some string. Use some bondage tape. We actually have some bondage tape here. Which, Nick, are you there? Our call screener. I really wanted to tie you up in New York so badly, but we were so busy that I didn't get to. And I wanted to use this bondage tape because it's so friggin' cool. Have you seen this before?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you why I love bondage tape.
Because
it looks like duct tape. And it comes in different colors. There's like red and black and purple. But it's reusable. But it also sticks to itself. So let's say I had my two hands here.
Oh, this is nice.
So, yeah, it's really nice. So give me your hands.
Okay.
I'm going to tie you up. So you go like this. And literally, you guys, it is my favorite thing. I think I discovered this like 14 years ago when I first, I'm like, that was still my favorite thing. So there you go. Look at this. So it sticks to itself. You can just break it. You can use your teeth.
Yes.
But.
It's almost like a decal.
Okay, there. It works.
Yeah.
Like, but you could even make it tighter, right?
Right.
So you could wear this around you could do it in your hands. You could do it around I could blindfold you.
Right.
I could blindfold you. I got to stay on mic and do bondage. I have to tie someone up while being on the mic. This is a first. Okay. So turn around. So you know what I'm saying. And this is it. So watch. She's got a blindfold. And this tape is like $12 a roll. And it's reusable if you want to.
Y'all are doing great, by the way.
And it doesn't stick to its hair. It doesn't stick to the hair. It doesn't stick to yourself. Look at her.
She's a natural.
Is it like you're at home or something? Is it like your husband? Is this fun?
We're either going to kidnap her.
Oh, my God. You could do it around their mouth. You could do it around the legs. And it's really, like, how great is body? So easy. And you're all like, I don't know how to do it. Do you want to come out of this?
Okay,
but don't you think it's good? Would you use it? You're very good subject.
This is actually really awesome.
But how easy that came off, too. That's actually...
What I love about it, too, though, is that it's not like duct tape, and it actually doesn't stick to your skin, so it doesn't feel like you have something that's so sticky that it would hurt you. It actually is not, doesn't hurt any at all.
No.
Which is nice.
It doesn't, I put over your hair. She has this long, you should see Christina's hair.
My hair.
She's the most beautiful luxury. Every day I stare at her and I go, how is her hair so perfectly long and the highlights and the things and the thickness? Good jeans. But you just do it and it's really easy. I think in our mind we think it's a big boat rope or we think it has a lock and key and you got to like lock up the handcuffs. But no, it's just so easy to do. And it's just hot because you're feeling restrained or you take away eyesight, then everything else becomes more heightened. And so I think it's, popular for a lot of people. And that's why we want to talk about like beginner bondage. So you want to make sure you have consent. You don't want to just like whip out the bondage tape. Be like, hey, babe, I'm just going to. You want to talk about it ahead of time. You want to pay attention to your body. Like, how does it feel in the moment? What are you enjoying about it? Can you let go? I mean, I think the great thing about playing with bondage is that you actually get the person who's being tied up gets to like kind of let go a little bit. And you let go in the sense of you're not doing anything, but also you are feeling much more in your body. Because when you take away movement or eyesight, you're feeling more, and you're also feeling more connected that... For people who have like ADD and their mind wanders, I'm raising my hand, is that sometimes you're in a power play with your partner. So you're just feeling, it's also can be really more intimate.
Right.
It's not as disassociative. A lot of people kind of go in their minds and like fantasize during sex, but this is like a very connected, intimate act.
Definitely.
Right?
True.
With your husband too, you feel like
100% it's more intimate. That's what I think I love about it. And we switch so I can tie him up as well. That's the thing. It's like we both get to see how that dominant and submissive relationship can be, and switching because he's so dominant in his work and I'm so dominant in my work. We like being submissive both, but we also like to dominate.
Had you always had a sense that you could be both switching?
I didn't. That's the thing. I always thought I wanted to be submissive. And then Nick got it out of me. He was able to pull out from me being more into my dominant side. And what's so funny is all my gay friends said, "We knew you had it in you." And I was like, "Oh my God, I had no idea there was this other side that I could do that to."
I love it. I mean, I feel like in your marriage too, like, this is what I want. I want all of you to go a little bit deeper in your relationship, just because you think something isn't possible. I could never go there. When you're with a partner where you feel safe and you're actually having really healthy, helpful conversations and you feel safe to explore that, you're like, let me try to explore the dominant side. And if it didn't work, it would have been okay.
Right.
And then in him giving you permission to, maybe it's awkward the first time. I'm
it
sure
was.
You weren't like standing up there with a whip.
No,
you
no.
Didn't like, right?
And now I have. I have floggers.
Now
and
she's got the floggers and the whips, but not the first time. So I think also, you guys, another thing you can use is a spreader bar. It's not only great for like binding your feet, but it also adds in some like power play. So you can put Michelle was using it earlier, that you can, you know, put this around your legs. I can't do it.
I think you should do it.
I'm wearing a dress.
You
can put it in shoes.
You can put it to your ankles, and then you can also put it to your
hands.
Wrist.
Helps too.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Michelle, don't shoot up my skirt. Okay, that doesn't fit on my toes. But so a spreader bar is hot because, you guys, it's sort of like, it's power play. You have your hands, your feet. We've never done that. And my dress is opening
ankles,
too.
Don't worry.
My ankles, and they're spread apart. And it's just another power play that you said you have a spreader bar, right, Christina, at home?
I have multiple spreader bars.
I am dominant and submissive.
Yes, you are multi.
So that's what happens.
Faceted right here.
Okay, but you could also put your hands in there. You probably just have a bar, or no? Do you have everything?
I have one like this that you have, that where you can put your ankles and your wrists around, and I also have one that's just for your legs, so it actually just keeps them spread, and so that way, you know, it's almost like, in a way, a little painful, which I'm okay with, and then having to, like, you know, stay in that position while you're trying to have intercourse or sex or, you know, being dominant, submissive.
So what part of it is painful? The actual, your legs
the
are, because they're
spreading.
Because it's all spread.
Right.
So it's kind of like you are open, like your partner's essentially saying, by you wearing the spreader bar, like, you are open to me. I can take you in any way.
I can leave you. I can come back. And then I can leave again. Exactly. Yeah. But it's really hot.
Yeah, you guys. This is all hot stuff. This is a little beginner bondage 101.
All right, we have Katie, who's 24 in California. She wants to know how to be more dominant in bed.
Okay, what's going on? Tell me.
So my husband is dominant in bed, but he sometimes wants me to be, and I get really shy, and I don't know what to do, like how I should go about trying to do it.
Yeah, it's a great question, Katie. So, because why would you know if you've never done it before? And so you're in the position that a lot of people are when our partner tells us they want something and we're like, I don't know what that means. Like, I'm not sure what it means to be dominant. So my first thing would be to ask him and say, can you walk me through a scenario or show me what you mean? How would you like me to be dominant? Because that also looks different. Does he want you to tie him up? Does he want you to spank him? Does he want verbal domination? Does he want you to verbally use dominant words? I think you get to totally ask here and say, you know what? I would love to get to know more about this. Tell me what that looks like to you. So there's nothing wrong with you don't know. And I was going to ask Christina here, because Christina is her husband. You weren't into being dominant, right? And then he kind of taught you, you didn't know it was going to be your thing. And then how did you guys learn that? That might be helpful for Katie.
Yeah, I actually did exactly what your advice is that I asked him, what is it that he liked? I asked it if it was something that he told me he likes to be humiliated.
Okay.
And so that's when I discovered, oh, okay. And then what is that kind of thing that you want to be humiliated, but do you want? He's like, I want to think of you being with like another man.
Okay.
And tell me what you would do with him, and that's going to humiliate me. And so he just wanted me to talk
the
more
verbally.
Dirty.
Okay.
Exactly.
See, right. How would you know? Like, you didn't know if he wanted handcuffs and to be spanked, but it was more verbal domination.
He wanted more verbal domination.
Okay.
And he does like, now it's progressed to more like, I can also, you know, do bondage and I can also do other things with him. But it gets more as they, you know, we both discover together. Yeah. It's actually very beautiful.
It keeps expanding. That is really beautiful. Yeah. I love all the layers peeling back with Christina's sex life. So, Katie, does that make sense to you? Does that could that be helpful to have just some more conversations? Maybe he can show you some porn that he likes that have some scenes in it that show what he's into. But you in no way have to be nailing this right now.
Yeah, I think I just, because I get, like, shy and embarrassed almost, so I think asking would probably be better, because I just don't know what
I'm telling you, you don't have to know, Katie. You shouldn't know. Don't beat yourself up. Of course you're embarrassed, you know? It's okay. Like, you're shy. You haven't done it before. It's a new skill, and it's okay to ask a lot of questions.
All right, we have Carmen, 64, in Arizona, who wants to ask about anal toys.
Hey, Carmen. How you doing?
Hi. How are you, Dr. Emily?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to thank you because thanks to you, I've had the first talk ever about sex and toys. And it was so wonderful. We're going to go to a store to buy toys. And it brought us closer. You have no idea how amazing. We've been dating 2 years, and it's just gone up our level of, you know, closeness. So thank you for that.
Yes, of course. I remember you're 64, right, Carmen? You're 64. And how old is he?
Yes. But just by listening to your program, just been amazing, which is even better. My question is about anal things.
Okay.
Because I had anal sex with my ex, with my first husband. And sincerely, we were very tipsy and I really enjoyed it, but I never wanted to do it again.
Right.
I thought it was, I don't know, perversion that I was young.
I get. Yeah.
And so then with my boyfriend a few, like 10 years ago, I really tried to like,
Well, here's the thing, Carmen. It's mostly people have bad first time experience like that. They're drunk and then like, oh no, wrong hole it goes in, or you know it's going in, but you don't use lube and you don't go slow. So the most important thing is for you to be turned on and warmed up to use a lot of, actually you're asking about toys. It says here there's the B-Vibe has a beginner anal kit, and it has different size butt plugs to build up. It has amazing lube. It has a lube shooter actually to help move the lube along. So that might be, it has a beginner guide to anal. That's literally the best beginner guide I've ever read. It's like very easy to read. There's pictures. I would start there. Because for many women, Carmen, they don't realize they can actually have pleasure through anal because they just had a bad time. They had a bad experience. And they never tried it again. It can actually give you a lot of pleasure if you do it right and slow down. How about that, Carmen?
The only time I enjoyed it was the first time, but I didn't want to do it because I thought there was a mental block on this is not good.
Right, you know, it's taboo. Oh my God, I'm a bad person.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it, but I never wanted to. But then now, 10 years ago, when I tried it again, I couldn't get to like it. We tried it a few times.
Okay, great. But now you're going to try it, right, Carmen? Okay, well. Now you'll try it. Try the beginner anal kit.
Sure.
Awesome. Thanks, Carmen.
All right. We have a Cindy, 55, in New Orleans that wants to ask about squirting.
Hey, Sydney, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
So I have a question for you. I'm very, very lucky. My husband and I have a wonderful sex life. I'm multi-orgasmic. And about 4 or 5 years ago, my husband was able to get me to squirt, and now he is obsessed. He wants me to do it again. And I've been like, no, I don't want to try this again. I don't know what I did that caused it to happen. It just happened. So I'd like to go ahead and fulfill his fantasy of having me do that again. But how does it happen? I mean, what did I do? Or
right.
What did he do that...
I mean, a lot of times it has to do, did it happen? Was he using his fingers or were you having sex? Was he using a toy? Do you remember what was happening? And I can explain to you more.
Sure. He was using his fingers.
Okay.
And I was standing and he was sitting on the love seat.
Oh, okay. Well, this makes sense. So if you were standing, it means that your legs were closer together. You were probably tensing and relaxing your pelvic floor muscles. And you were probably clenching them together a little bit tighter, too. So when you're standing, I actually, that's a really great way to squirt. I've squirted that way. And so I think that's probably why you were squeezing your pelvic floor muscles. He was using his fingers to penetrate you and going in and out and hitting your G-spot. maybe try that again. It really is just continual stimulation of the G-spot. It helps to already be aroused, to have like a clitoral orgasm first. For some women, it helps to like kind of rub over the pubic mound, like right above your clitoris, using the magic wand vibrator. Kind of works for a lot of people. Yeah. Use that over your pubic mound. Have him use his fingers and then place the magic wand on your pubic mound. But that's where you apply pressure with it. I'm telling you, it's been like this. We had the owners of Magic Wand a few months ago. We love them. And I'm like, have you heard this a lot too? They're like, yeah, all the time. So that's what happens.
We've had ours for years.
Yes. Yeah,
before I ever even discovered you, I was reading up and found one. And I thought, this is a good toy.
I don't know when you got it, but they have one that's wireless now, a cordless.
Ooh.
Yeah. It does, you don't even need to plug it in. Yeah, you don't need to plug it in. And it's just as powerful. It's cordless. I know. It was huge when that came out 4 years ago. Like, we had a parade. It was only in our office, but we were excited. So that's what it is. It's all G-spot. Play with the toys. Play with his fingers and stand up straight. That all makes sense to me. I would try to recreate that.
Go ahead and...
Okay, awesome.
All
right, go do me. And again, don't feel pressure, Sydney, but you know, why not? See how it goes again. Thanks, Sydney. After the break, I'll answer more of your questions about kink and BDSM.
This next one comes to us from Terry, who's 43 in Ohio. She writes, my husband and I are looking for recommendation for nipple clamps. We've never used them before and really don't know where to start. Are there beginner nipple clamps? Do the choice of clamps depend on level of sensitivity or desired sensation? For me, I'm super sensitive and can actually orgasm with nipple stim alone. Who knew that was possible, right? Any product recommendations? Thanks.
Oh, Terry, we knew it was possible, but we haven't had one yet here at Sex with Emily. I love that you have nipple orgasms. Nipple orgasms are a very common orgasm that women can have, really can be a lot easier to achieve, but a lot of women don't take the time figuring that out. And nipple clamps are a great way to start. So here's the thing. There are some really cool ones that you can vary the sensitivity. I like the Bound to Please nipple clamps. If you go to our website and you click on the store, what's really cool about these, just like put in nipple clamps into our store, because they have screws on them that are connected by like a removable chain. And so you can tighten the grip just from very, very light to intense. So you can play with them. Your partner can play with them by just kind of moving a little screw that gets them a little bit tighter and a little bit tighter. So you can actually play with them, and they're really sexy looking. They have a few pairs that are great. So yes, absolutely get ones that you can vary. You can go from, you know, sensitive to, you can go from tight to whatever I said. The ones that you can go from light to intense. Mm-hmm. So I think that'd be a great solution. And then also, I think use some lube. If you haven't tried that on your breasts, that feels amazing. Oh, by the way, speaking of lube, I am obsessed with Playground. You know how much I love lube. And it takes a lot for me to actually recommend one and say, like, this is what I love. Well, Playground is new. It has all these incredible ingredients, especially if you have a vulva. These are the ingredients you'd want to put inside of you, but it's for everybody. It's great for partnered sex. They have four different essences. You have to just check it out. It's helloplayground.com, and all of my Sex with Emily listeners get a special discount, 15% off your first order using code SEXWITHEMILY. Go check them out. You'll be obsessed. Let me know what you think.
Okay, and then let's talk to Jen. She's 32 in Minnesota. Jen writes, hi, Emily. Here's my question. My husband and I have a great sex life. We love sex and love exploring together. I'd really like to have him choke me during sex, but he's scared of hurting me. We're fine with other BDSM play, but for some reason, he's worried about the choking thing. Are there any tips or tricks or techniques that we could try? Thank you.
Yes, this is a great question, you guys, because breath play, autoerotic fixation, and breath play are serious work, guys. You have to know what you're doing when you want to choke your partner. I get that it's really hot. We see it a lot in porn right now. And the thing about choking and the attraction to it is that it really is more about like a domination, submission, like role playing, power play than it is, you know, more than the not breathing. And so it's important to be conscious of this and to be cautious of this, because maybe what you're looking for is maybe just more of the domination part of it. So first of all, you always want to start with a light touch. So you could put his fingers on either side of your neck, like on either side of your esophagus, not on the front of your neck where you could choke actually and stop breathing. And he could just do it really lightly and make sure again that his hands are not on your throat, and maybe whisper something in your ear, or just like use more aggression with his hands grasped around your neck. Because I think that people can just like do this wrong. And I think that you want to be safe. You also want to make sure that you are using a clear mind. You're not using too much alcohol, too many drugs. You can also take a class. Like there are classes online you can take and like learn like what is the proper way to touch my partner's neck, because you just want to start really gently, like I said, either side of the esophagus and figure out what pressure works for your partner. Because when you do push on the neck, that's where you gather the breath. You'll start coughing. It's not sexy and it's dangerous. So play with his fingers around your neck and not blocking your pathways. I think that's the best way to do it. And I get why he's worried, because he should be. Be careful. Be mindful. Play with it.
So this next email comes to us from Chris, who's 26 in Illinois. He writes, "Hi, Emily. What is your take on couples who masturbate together, and how can I bring this up to a partner?"
Wow. Chris, hello. I'm so happy to get this question because I am obsessed with mutual masturbation, which I just talked about. I think it's amazing. And I think it, again, variety, it's a way to connect with your partner. It's a twofer, actually, because when you mutually masturbate with your partner, it's hot because you're actually looking at them please themselves. So it's hot. It's like visually stimulating. But then you're also learning. It's educational. I can't tell you how many times I've mutually masturbated with a new partner. Sounds funny, but I've had a lot of times where I'm like, oh, I didn't know that he put his hands around his balls and then he takes his hand up and over the tip of his penis. Like, so then I knew that that's where he's sensitive, where he likes to get my hand to go over it when I'm giving a hand job. And when you're looking at your, if you're with a female partner, like, oh, I didn't know that she put fingers inside of her. And so it's a very, I think it's a really sexy, hot thing to do. That's one thing. So I'm a huge fan of it. How you bring it up is outside the bedroom to your partner, talking about your sex life or whatever's happening, and say, I've had these fantasies lately and I thought it'd be so hot to see what you do when you masturbate, when you pleasure yourself, and I could do it at the same time, or I could just watch you. Would you be open to that? I think it would be really sexy to see what you do. I think that'd be hot. The best way to ease into it is if your partner says, no, I'm really embarrassed and really shy, because you're right, that is the question that they're going to ask. That's a common reaction, is tell me more, what part about it makes you feel shy? And getting some more information, getting some more clarifying questions. Well, I don't know. I feel like I don't really know. And you wouldn't think I was sexy if I was doing it. And you might judge me. You might think it's weird. Okay, well, I'm telling you now, you know, okay, let him say that. Well, yeah, no, I think anything you do is hot. Like, I think watching you in pleasure, and then I could learn more how to please you. And I just think it'd be so sexy. And then if they're like, no, no, I think it's weird or whatever, you could say, okay, well, maybe we could try it over our pants. Or maybe we could, I could do it and you could watch, or maybe I could masturbate you, you know, just, or if they say no, just say, okay, like bring it up again, maybe in another way. Like I think asking, getting a little bit deeper and getting some more clarifying questions around and answers around why they don't want something would help ease it along.
We have Jeff, who's 31 in New Jersey. He wants to know how he can ease his new girlfriend into the idea of wearing a strap on.
Oh,
there you go. Welcome. Hey, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Did you like that wordplay with a little ease on in?
Yeah, ease it on in, baby. I loved it. I love everything about this. Tell me more. How long have you guys been together? Right, so okay.
So we've been dating about 5 months. Mm-hmm. She's great. You know, I love her to death. Beautiful, smart, intelligent, like the whole nine yards, but not very adventurous in bed. And again, 5 months is, you know, I don't know if it's long or short. It's
about time to talk about what you guys want in the bedroom.
Yeah, and I kind of hinted at it, and yeah, and it was almost like, you know, a no-go. Like, I tried to, like, guide the finger there, you know, and it gets pushed away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is, like, you know, a deal-breaker or not.
Yeah, okay, here's the thing, Jeff. So you're 31 years old. Is she your age as well?
She's 28.
Okay. So here's the thing. You've been together 5 months. You know, I think you have to have the conversation about sex outside the bedroom. Because if you're telling me she's not that adventurous, it's not that likely that she would be into it, you leading her finger towards your ass, because she's, and it's, he loved it.
Jeff, see, everyone's yelling at me for laughing, but I just think butt stuff is funny
butt
in general.
Butt stuff is funny. People love
no
butt
judgment.
Stuff.
I just like think it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Thank you.
But Jeff, I think it's kind of like outside the bedroom, you could say, you know what, I'm so into you. I think you're hot. I love the sex that we're having, and I'd love to be such an amazing lover to you. So I want to know, would you be open to figuring out together what we could do to really turn you on, take our sex life, you know, to the take your orgasm to the next level. Like, make it about her pleasure. Make it about all that. And then we can kind of like ease into, and this is what I would like. But I think the more that you open her up and she starts to feel safe with you, and the only reason she's not adventurous is because A, she probably has some judgments around sex and being adventurous. It could be her religion or something happened to her, or her friends are judging. We don't know. But she's not opening up. Or that's probably it. Or it could just be that, you know, she literally hasn't had enough experience on the planet, so she doesn't even know what's on the menu to be adventurous. So it's a matter of, like, you're going to have to be an educator.
Can I ask another question?
Okay, Jeff.
I'm sorry. When you guys, I don't know how old you are, but like when you were younger and stuff like that, was that something, you know, I've always dated younger women. Not to say that I'm looking to date somebody 10 years older, but like, you think, is it an age thing? Like, do you know, the women, or is she maybe still figuring that stuff out at this point?
Well,
like,
I'd love to say yes. Well, definitely younger women in their 20s, early, you know, 20s who've just, you know, haven't been having sex as long. There's definitely a learning curve for sure. But I'm telling you, I have women who call me every single night in their 40s, 50s, their 30s, who still have not figured it out. Most women are not invested in their pleasure. They're not invested in their sexual health, their sexual wellness, and their pleasure. They don't even know it. So I would like to say it more skews younger, but we hear from people every single day. So, but in this case, it might be that she's 28 years old. She hasn't been in a lot of relationships. And when she has, she was having a straight old missionary in and out guy pounding away at her like a jackhammer. We don't know, but I'm assuming that might have been what's been going down with her.
But also, I feel like a lot of men are adverse to butt stuff on themselves. And so it's like a conditioning that we adapt. Because like, there's guys that I've been with who are open about that and want that. And then other guys are like very adverse to it, even though they may like it if they tried it.
Right.
There's a judgment around it.
For sure.
But she could have been like absorbing that information unconsciously as well.
100% did. Yeah. She's probably, because you said she's not adventurous. You're 100% right, Stephanie. She probably has never like, what,
no
a guy wants to
that.
Figure his butt? Is he gay?
Yeah.
That's so weird, you know? So she probably doesn't really understand it. Every single day on the show, I'm informing people and I'm giving them the information to understand that, like, yeah, a guy's got a prostate. They can have killer orgasms. It does not make you gay. It just makes you smart.
Fuck it up.
Because you realize, whoa, shit, I can have another kind of orgasm. Like, if I was a dude, I'd be like, sign me up all the time. So there is a big learning curve for this, Jeff. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.